This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Sunday Night Debrief, where we basically look at the game normally on a Saturday, but today we had a game today at midday, and as Jimmy Greaves used to say, it is a game of two halves. We're also very, very pleased to welcome, obviously, my glamorous co-host assistant, Stephen, who is actually still talking to me after last week's show. If you haven't seen it, maybe see it and wonder for yourself if Steve really wanted to come around and bash me up. But that's, you know, we move forward. But we are also joined live from, I'm going to say New York City, even though it's not, but I'm going to say live from New York City, Anthony, who is an overseas Millwall fan who has watched the game, used to be very vocal on our spaces we used to do. And myself and Stephen welcome him to the live stream. How you doing, fella? You all right?
Yeah, all right. Thank you for having me today. I follow very frequently, you know, all the matches, whatnot, all the content on Twitter that you're providing, which is great. But today you'll definitely hit an extra note for me because, as I'll explain, Haji Wright was pulling out for my local in the last decade. When he got his first start, I was at the match, and it hit a chord today. So I wanted to be a part of this one today.
No problem. I think it's going to be lively. I would make sure that you got yourselves cups of tea or a beer or a drink or anything else, obviously. Anthony's getting geared up for the Super Bowl over there in a reasonable hour for him. But for us, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. And then obviously the halftime show and all that lot. So, who is it this year? It's Usher, isn't it? It is Usher, isn't it?
Yeah. Usher's performing. It'd be a decent one.
The thing that made me laugh with that is that those performers actually pay to perform there, didn't they? They pay a bundle of money to perform there, which is an interesting bit, but anyway, we'll get there. Stephen, Glenn's in the chat as well, the Coventry fan. We'll try and ignore him as best we can. But I suppose we'll start with his first comment, which was there. Honestly, the first 30 minutes Millwall caused us all sorts of problems. Edward clearly saw what Sheffield Wednesday did on Tuesday to us and did better than them. SA looked lively. Coventry deserved win overall. Do you want to start us off then, Stephen? And we'll see where we are. But I think we're going to disagree on a few things tonight, possibly.
Possibly. I'll be honest with you. I don't necessarily have to think. I don't think Coventry deserves the win overall for a start. I think we played really well for 45 minutes. They had better of the second half, obviously. But I wouldn't look at the game overall and go that they deserve to win the game, personally. We've obviously had a lot of chat in our WhatsApp.
It's been lively today. very lively.
Firstly, I think today, and just to be clear, when we come on to other topics, today's performance and today's result lies solely with the players, in my opinion. I think the second half, the way that we just capitulated, I mean, one thing that cannot go unnoticed, so many people have said it, why Jake Cooper didn't take the foul when Callum O'Hare picked the ball up in the middle of the pitch. He was right next to him, and all it just take him out. We see George Saville do it. We've seen Sean Williams do it in the past. We've seen Jimmy Abdu do it. All players do it. But why he chose not to do that in that, you know, in that situation is you know, one of many decisions that was made. But today, as I say, lies firmly with the players. Longer term, again, something that we might have to debate, perhaps where the longer term issues lie, whether it be the previous manager, current manager, board, players, whatever. But today, unacceptable second half.
I mean, Baz, hello, Baz, you're right. I saw you have a comment that's in What's the Point of the... I think that was you, with the What's the Point of the Podcast, yeah. Well, it's for things like this, because I'm going to pick up on what you say there. And I don't think this is a new thing. I think this has been happening for a while. It happened under Rowett. It seemed as if we were... In plenty of games, we seem to think that we were that good in defensive that we can just score one goal and sit back. I mean, it was something when we played that Phil Coleman clip on the last show, where when he was on the Coventry show, where it was literally, you know, we score one, we're going to win. If we score a goal, we're going to win. That's bullshit. Our players are not fucking that good anymore. They were two seasons, maybe three seasons ago. We had a great defensive record. But now they seem to score, and they just don't seem to have that hunger to go for the next one. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
it should be another two.
They did. To be fair, and I know Coventry should have scored within the first 5 minutes as well, but within 20 minutes, we could and should have had three goals.
Yeah, we should have done, but we didn't. That's the whole point.
I get that, but I don't think it's a hunger to not go and get a third goal. I just don't think we're clinical enough to be able to score when we're on top two, three goals. A prime example that I thought about this earlier. Last season when we played Watford at the Den, Tom Brasher had a hat-trick inside 30 minutes. We had three chances. He took all three of them and we blew them away. Absolutely blew them away. The rest of the game was a bit of a non-contest because we were 3-0 up. But I'm not saying that would happen today or against Middlesbrough a few weeks ago. If you take your first chance, take your second chance, we could blow teams away. We're just not clinical enough. And then, as you say, the mode goes into, right, well, we're 1-0 up. We haven't taken our chances. We're going to sit back and we're going to say, right, come and break us down. 2 years ago, teams couldn't do it. Now they do it every week. And that's a problem. Because if you don't score a second goal, as we saw today, Coventry score the penalty, which was a penalty. I don't think there's any complaints there. 2 minutes later, 2-1, game over. And as Chris said on Chat with Chaps, if anyone hasn't listened to it, you know, it's up live on the channel. You knew, I knew, everybody watching the game knew we weren't going to get a goal back at 2-1. It was never going to happen. So big problems, big, big problems.
I mean, let's come to you. Let's bring you in, Anthony. Obviously, we were talking before we come on air with some of the bits and pieces. And one point, well, obviously, you said, which I agree with you, sir, SA, you can see the build with SA. Is that SA has, his maturity is starting to grow, but that yellow card just seemed to rock him to the core today. And you could see on his face, he reacted. And I think that's one of the reasons why he was taken off, because he just seemed to let it get to him. What's your views of today?
To start with that, say I thought it was a great for him to see him on the starting 11, and he took the goal well, got a deflection, but he took the goal well, and very, very harshly undone by that yellow for sure. It was, you know, the ref said he blew the whistle dead and he kicked the ball away. I mean, that, I don't really see how that was ruled by the ref, and it ruined, you know, from 45 minutes on, I think everyone came out in the second half flat, but he really wasn't attacking the ball as well as he wanted to. And he had to come off. That second half was very tough to watch. even tougher in the sense, you know, we went down 2-1, we made the subs, all of our attacking bench options came on the field. And by my count, we had one shot in the last 30, 40 minutes, which Bradshaw header missed the target. So we just offered nothing. As Steven said, at 2-1, we weren't getting the goal back. And it was frustrating to see. I think the only interesting thing I would note with the subs, while they were, you know, the best intent, was I would have liked to see, you know, Cooper come off. I know there's this whole premise of he's a big option in the box for set pieces, big 6'6 lad from taking a corner, taking a free kick. He scored 3 goals since the beginning of last season. Like, we can't rely on that. Like, go four at the back, keep on Fleming or Honeyman or whoever. You keep them on the pitch, and that's what I would have done differently, but the subs didn't really offer much anyway, so that's how I feel.
Just as a follow-up to that, the substitution of Cian Fleming was absolutely baffling for me. I thought, again, whilst without being the Fleming of obviously last season, backing up last week where I thought he was our best player, this week the effort was there, the commitment was there. Things didn't quite work for him, but you cannot fault his effort, and he did get the assist for SA's goal. When you need a goal, you've gone behind. He's our leading scorer. He's got the most assists, or joint leading scorer with Nisbet. To take him off was a little bit was a bit of a strange one for me. There was plenty of other players he could have taken off to go for it a little bit more. I must admit with you, I agree with you there. Why take Fleming? Honeyman, if he's running out of legs, fine, I can accept that. But Fleming, that little bit of magic might be the difference between getting a goal and not. So I don't understand that personally.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think the problem is that the fan base is so fucking divided at the moment that, you know, it's fucking unreal. I mean, we have gone through so much in this year, it's fucking mental. Do you know what I mean? As any club. But this team, what's underperforming now, is the same team what was underperforming for Rowett. And having to listen to him on Sky in his sanctimonious fucking smug way was just painful. But you know, he did have points. It's that, you know, we were good at points, but we just didn't go over that next one. Do you know what I mean? We just couldn't take it to the next stage. But that's the story of his life when he was with us.
Yeah, and it's been the story of the last 5 years. It's always, I think the saying is, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. And that's been us where the playoffs have been concerned. We've always been that team that everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, they could do it this year. We'd love to see Mill win the Premier League. And then when it actually comes down to it, we've faded. And this season, it almost feels like, and I don't want to make comparisons because it's probably not fair, but when we first come up to the Championship under Neil Harris, teams didn't know how to play against us. They didn't know how to play against the 4-4-2, the Cooper diagonal to Steve Morrison and Gregory in and around the box. They didn't know how to play. And that's why we were relatively successful. But then we were found out the season after, and Harris struggled and obviously then soon to leave the club. And it almost feels like we've now been found out. We were found out how teams worked out how to play against Gary Rowett's Millwall. And we haven't quite fully come away from it. The style of football might be better, but we're still playing the same shape as Gary Rowett played. And I think that's a little bit of a problem.
The three at the back didn't work last season. And when he changed it and went to four, we started to get better results. And then Gary was like, you know, I remember those conversations where Gary would be like, you know, look, you just support the team, I'll manage the team and all this with people and fans and all that lot. But the three didn't work. The four gave us a greater stability on that back line. And I think realistically, that's where we need to go to again. But again, it raises that question of the players aren't there. And my biggest concern is that we can, listen, right? I fully support what Edwards is trying to do. The biggest problem, what I see here, is not what he wants to do. It's, is the board going to be able to financially give him what he needs, because we're never going to be able to pay 7, 10 million, 15 million for a player like some of the other teams. So we're already up against it. But where does the rebuild go from? We've got, what, 5 players on loan this season. We've got, what, 5 players running out of contract. Potentially, that's 10 players we need to find for next season. Where are we really going to be investing to buy 10 players of good ability to be able to play the way that Edwards wants to play? You know, this Santos, we were allegedly in for Santos, but then Chelsea wanted a bit too much money. I'm not going to mention where we got that from, but you've heard the same thing, Stephen, from the fella. And you just have to ask, you know, how much money, one, did he want? And two, how far out were we? Because we can't afford 4 million or 3 million for Cresswell. So how the fuck are we supposed to get someone who's after? I mean, let's be honest. On the current financial situation, what we seem to be putting ourselves in, and I understand why we're there because of what we are and everything else about it. You know, I'm not pretending that we're a 100 million, 200 million pound financed club and all this lot, like the Leicesters, etc., Leeds, etc. But on our current budget, this rebuild could take fucking 30 years.
If I could jump in here, I mean, Adam Meyer made his debut today, 15 minutes. Obviously, we can't judge him off that 15 minutes. I mean, I like the thought, you know, he's come up from Morecambe, you know, he's a young, exciting prospect. We know the financial limitations with the club. We're accepting of that to a sense. So I'm willing to give that a little more time. I'm willing to see that turnover of these 10 odd players you mentioned, whether out of contract or on loan. I'm willing to see that. I'm willing to see that play out, as I think generally as a Millwall fan. I think that's sort of expected. So I do hope Adam gets a couple more chances. I do hope he, you know, him and SA get a little more time, and maybe that'll help us sort of see, you know, Joe Edwards at his best, if he can bring in more players and train them his way. So,
that's, I mean, Bailey raises an interesting point there. The major issue is if you take off Cooper, you don't have another left footer with either Tanganga or Harding. Both Edwards and Rowett hate that. Only option is Murray Wallace to replace Cooper, really. And that's a sad state to be in. Surely we've got a left footer playing in the youth in a minute.
But it is. I mean, would we really put someone in who's not played Championship football in this current situation? I don't know. But maybe that would, you know, give the players a bit of a rocket. I understand the argument for the left, having a left footed centre back on the left and a right footed centre back on the right. It's a bit like when, you know, like sometimes you put a right back at left back and you can tell that they're not comfortable and it just looks a bit awkward. But in terms of, I don't necessarily think we're getting caught. Bailey, that is a really good point about having the balance, but I don't think we're being caught out with the fact that Jake Cooper's given the ball away. We're being caught out because Jake Cooper's too slow. So if you feel that Tanganga and Harding are better on the ball, or Leonard, you could still back them on that left-hand side, because it's not them giving the ball away. It's Cooper being dribbled past or ran past or whatever. But I do agree that, for us to be relatively successful, you've got to have a proper left back, a proper left-sided centre back, a proper right-sided centre back, and a proper right back. So it depends really what way you want to go. But Jake Cooper is seriously, seriously on borrowed time at the minute, because he's just not getting any better. And he signed this long-term deal. He's been great for the club, a great servant. But how long can you keep carrying him? I don't know.
No, that's it. I mean, Finn, obviously, their first 45 minutes all Millwall, could have put the game to bed, didn't allow to play our usual game. This is obviously from a Coventry fan, by the looks of it. So first 45 minutes all Millwall, could have put the game to bed, didn't allow to play our usual game. Robbins had to change it. It paid off. Heads dropped after pen. Rest of the season, play like first half, you'll survive. I think he's right. But I mean, the problem is,
he's right,
but we can't play 90 minutes.
Exactly.
We either play 45, 30, 20, And that's it. For some unknown reason, we can't play 90 minutes. And I don't know why. I really don't know why we can't, considering that these are professional players. Like, you know, like we said the other day, they are professional players who should be able to play for 90 minutes of football, yet they fucking can't. The average age of them are nearly, 27, 28 years old. Why the fuck do their heads still drop when we go one down? To me, you need to take the ball out of the net, put it on the centre circle and go again. Let's have it. We're going to go get that goal. We're going to get the goal. Because if you live with a positive mentality, surely it's going to come back. But you could just see the players. We all knew what was coming. We all knew at 1-0, when we weren't scoring a second, we knew what was coming. We knew they were going to score another goal. We knew they were going to score a goal. And then we knew that they were going to come and score another one. I mean, there's a bit on Twitter today which pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? The game is following the classic Millwall mould. Start brilliantly, score, waste chances to go two up, take foot off the gas, become wasteful on the ball, other team beats us. Same.
Well, it's let's face it, that's a repeat of pretty much the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, each sleep, repeat. That's it. Every fucking game.
Yeah. I think the other thing, and I'm looking, I've got our stream on my laptop and I can see some of the comments coming through, and I'm trying not to jump ahead. There's some really good comments coming in, guys. So when we get to them, I'll respond accordingly.
Your dad's come on. Two up front.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I didn't know that. But yeah, I've mentioned this. It doesn't even necessarily have to be Bradshaw or Obafemi. You could push Fleming further forward. There's a few comments coming through saying that Fleming's wasted out wide. 100% agree. You've got to get him central, and that could be a way to do it. Have two up front. Try and give teams something else to think about, because the one up top, Obafemi, I thought, looked quite good in the first half. He got a couple of chances away, probably should have scored. But eventually he started to get crowded out because they started to work out, we've only got one in the middle, we can swallow that up. So two up front, I would agree. It wouldn't hurt to try it. A couple of the other comments, I know we'll get to them. There's a couple of that had said about... George Honeyman being our best player. I thought he was excellent, really, really good. I think Anthony, you said earlier that why he was taken off, if it's legs or tired, fair enough. But again, you're taking off players that he was highly thought of at Hull. He gave everything for their shirt. He does give everything in a Millwall shirt. And when you need that little bit of fighting spirit, a little bit of a scrappy player to maybe drag you over the line, you'd think he'd be playing 90 minutes every week. I don't know. But I agree with the guys in the comments there that definitely George Honeyman was probably our best player today.
Danny Strood, we'll come back to your point in a bit, mate. Some of you where... you're seeing your comments come through and you think, oh, you haven't put them up. Some of them I'm highlighting and we'll come back to them as we go through, because I don't want to chop and chur. I want to have a little discussion with this and then come back onto the recruitment side of it. I want to come back to that in a little while, because I think we need to have a detailed chat around the recruitment. I don't know. Where are we? Edwards is never going to play four at the back. Also need to play two up top as our midfielders. I mean, at one point, it looked as if we were just filling that midfield with everybody at one point, just to stop, stop them going anywhere, which worked. But the problem being is that we don't seem to be able to go out and do that. I think Edwards played a blinding first half. But the problem is that he's not the one playing on the pitch. And we say it week in, week out. There is no leader on that pitch when Hutch ain't there.
Just an interesting one, just before we go into some of the comments. A couple of the guys, Bailey's one, there's a couple of others that have said it, that they were there today. Just out of interest, what was the fans' reaction at full time? Because I haven't seen much. Obviously, people go on social media and they tweet out, disappointed, frustrations and blame the players, manager, whatever. But what was the kind of immediate reaction from the fans, because I thought, and we spoke about this on Friday, Mickey, that I don't think many people gave us much of a hope of getting anything at Coventry. So losing the game wasn't necessarily like, I think we may have not expected to get much out of the game, but to go ahead and to play as well as we did and to fall apart, I just wonder what the fans who were there felt.
Well, it's a good thing you say that, Stephen, because obviously after we gave him a bit of shit the other day, he sent me a voice message, and I'll just play it. It's obviously Bobby's voice message, what he sent to us. I'll play it over now.
Good afternoon, Mickey, my son. I'm fucking fuming, mate. Yeah, we played well first half, second half, another shit penalty. But end of the day, right, Mickey, son, I'm fucking fuming. Yes, they should get more game time. We know that. Do trust this fucking plonker, Joey Edwards. Winning 1-0, 2-1, two penalties. Sarchik, whatever his fucking name is a fucking joke. Shitkeeper. We played well. We've lost the game, right, yeah? I'm just it's really my weekend again, Mickey, mate, and the old podcast and Stefan. Just told Nick this, basically, yeah? You know, SA doesn't get game time. The guy at front number nine, what's his name? Obafembi. Oh, don't get me started on him, mate. What is it? One shot. Adam Mayer, signers are shit. We have no fucking passion. We have no fucking idea. Coventry, building site, fucking arena, fucking shithole, mate. So, yeah, if we all think we're all going to be Ipswich, we're all delusional, right? Yeah. Even your great podcast, Nick's podcast. You know what? I'm ill till I die. I'm fucking fuming, right? Yeah. Too soft goal. Who the fuck is Henry Wright? Anyway, I don't really know, mate. No coffee, no coffee in today. Danny, solid Millwall player. Look. Listen, Mickey, mate, I'll tell you how it is really and truly and honestly, as you even know yourself, all the years you've gone to Millwall, right, yeah? And it's making me upset, right, yeah? No passion, no ideas, no fucking Millwall fight. These boys ain't up for it. Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday, take care, Mickey. I'm on the way home and it's fucking, I don't know what. Oh, take care, I'm fuming. No one likes...
There we go. That's Bobby. Those of you getting the chat, you see him week in, week out on here. So, yeah.
What I would say, some of his points there were a bit nuts. Let's be honest. I think it did sound.
But I agree with him. Our players don't have the bollocks.
That is the issue. That is the issue. If you've got to have sometimes. We saw it in that Norwich game. When I know it wasn't a red card, but when they were breaking, Sav took the guy out. I mentioned it before. Sean Williams has done it. You've got to have a little bit of that. Not what do you want to say? That nastiness in the team to earn a point, earn your way out of this difficulty. But our players, as I say, Jake Cooper. And again, I don't want to single him out because I think there's other players that really do need to hold their hands up and accept that they've not been good enough. But wow. Have a bit of fight. Yeah, show a little bit of a. To be honest with you, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Let's put that to you in the comments, mate. Who would you pick, Wallace or Cooper? Get yourself in the comments and see where we are with there. So, yeah, I mean, anytime you want to come in, then just come in, mate. Just come in.
No, of course. I guess the difference in prior years to having that character who you know will make that challenge, who, you know, will take the necessary yellow if need be to, you know, if someone's run down the touchline, give them an extra bump, just that little extra grit. You look at a guy like Casper De Noor, who is a very technically sound individual. I see him as like this nice character who doesn't quite follow, but he's trying to, you know, be that technical midfielder and, you know, pass the ball and full under that. So I guess it's not a bad word about him, just sort of kind of seeing that player and not being able to compare him to, you know, a Sean Williams or, you know, Alex Pierce or someone there to, you know, get a tackle and celebrate. Like, I don't know. I see that.
I think, again, someone like Casper's obviously new to the club, so. And his game's not built around being a hard tackling midfielder. So it's quite difficult to ask him to then go and do that. But someone like, I don't want to keep going back to Jake Cooper because it feels like we're kind of singling him out a bit. I'll go to Wes Harding, for example, who actually I thought was.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Better today.
Thought he had a good first half, yeah.
Better. I mean, based on a couple of performances, I thought his pace got us out of trouble a few times and he looked okay. But someone like that, you'd fully expect to just make the tackle, go in and take the forward out to stop it. And we just don't seem to do that enough. And, I think I just want to go back to, you both spoke about it at the start, Romain Essa. Really pleased he scored his goal. Really pleased he got a start. I don't think he was quite at his best, but again, there was glimpses that he has bulked up a little bit. I think he still needs to do a bit more work on that. The booking was a joke. The booking was outrageous. Yeah. And you could tell there was
Didn't Cooper pass the part or ball to him, or was it Fleming passed the ball to him and he just... He kicked it, probably didn't even know the whistle had gone.
Danny tried to win the ball back, which I thought he won it back fairly. The ref gave a foul. SA played it to Fleming just because Fleming would have been in on goal, and the ref went, "Oh no, you've kicked the ball away." When he didn't kick the ball away, he passed it to one of our players. It's a ridiculous card. And there was a moment in the second half just before SA got taken off where one of their players was running with the ball and SA was trying to tackle him. And every 5 minutes he kept doing this, like, "I'm not fouling him. I'm not touching him. I'm not touching him." And you think, well, that's no good. But it's not his fault because he'd already been on a booking and he didn't want to get sent off. So, little things like that. I was pleased for him to get his goal. A lot was made about his celebration. He pointed at his wrist, didn't he, to say about time. But if you look on Millwall's Twitter, at the start of the season, he posted for the graphic doing the same thing. So I don't think there's too much to.
No, I don't think there's anything in there. I mean, Glenn, I'm going to put your point on before I run through these. I was holding back to put yours on. Listen, we call this the Sunday night debrief. And if you're an opposition fan, it's always good to have your opinion if you give it in a grown-up way. Don't come on going, "No, fuck him, shit me," blah, blah, blah. But the ones we've had on, Glenn and Finn and etc., seem to be giving it in a constructive way, and we're more than happy to take these on because it's interesting to 100%. See how fans, opposition fans, see us. You don't see us play week in, week out when we do, and they give us our opinion. So look, it is what it is. Look, if you are new to us, make sure you are subscribed, and also if you are watching on YouTube, please just give us a like. If you're watching us on Facebook or Twitter, your comments can come through, so just comment on Twitter. Comment on Facebook on this feed, and your comments will come through. I know we're running a bit behind on the comments, but we will get through these and keep going. I think manager is okay. Players just don't seem to have the heart or the will to fucking be able to perform for 90 minutes. Whether that's down to fitness, whether that's down to just stubbornness from them, I don't know. But something isn't right there.
Go on, Ant.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not obviously an opposing fan, but I will give an opposing view on Haji Wright. So when the New York Cosmos rebranded about 20 minutes away, I was a season ticket holder. Haji was coming up through the team, through the B squad, made a substitute appearance or two before he moved off into Europe. And I was part of that. And then at the World Cup this past year, he was our only striker who scored. Like, we're not really known for our strikers. Haji got the call, and it was outstanding to see him get that. He made his move to Turkey. He thought you're never going to hear about him again. And I still think he's our second-best striker. Daryl Dike from West Brom got hurt again this weekend. He can't stay fit. Josh Sargent, if I see him on the field, USA is going to lose. So, like, Haji Wright is, like, our number two U.S. striker. I fully expect him to see a Copa America this year against the South American sides in – basically what's our biggest warm-up before the 26th World Cup. And when they subbed him out, or not subbed him out, when they made their subs and they pushed him out wide, that just opened up his game. He needs a little bit. He needs a little bit more. He can't sort of be that top figure. Like when he scored the goal, it was a substitute appearance against the Netherlands. It was kind of a freak goal. But he thrived when the subs were made and he went out wide to the point, even on the second goal, yes, Cooper should have made the tackle as noted earlier. But when he was out wide, he was able to sort of dupe Sarkic. I'm not going to let Sarkic off the hook. He should have made the save. But that, like, it gave him so much more confidence out wide. And as a USA fan, I'm like, okay, you know, Haji's doing well. I hope he doesn't score against us. But naturally, he scores too. And that hurt a little bit watching Haji do that. But,
I have to say, I do agree 100%. I thought in the first half, we dealt with him relatively well. The ball over the top, they didn't quite get it right, or we managed to deal with it. As soon as he was put out wide, it became a different animal. And again, the goals, we all know, are from our mistakes. Penalty was a mistake. Sarkic was a mistake. Cooper not taking the guy out was a mistake. So you do have to take it with a pinch of salt. But I did think he played very, very well when they moved him out wide. And that's a couple of things that I've been trying to sort of get across, where talking about Joe Edwards, I don't think we need to panic in the sense of having him as manager. Yes, okay, we're in a bit of a tough spot at the moment, but I think he's still the right person to take us forward. But we do seem to only have one way of playing. We all complained about it under Gary Rowett, and we did. And it was more so the fact that the style of football was quite negative, but we had the same shape. We very rarely went two up front. It was just like for like changes all the time. And I know this isn't Joe Edwards' squad. I know he's had to inherit a lot of players that he probably would never want in his first team. But we still, like, for example, the substitution with Fleming. We took all three of our attacking players off. We brought three attacking players on, but we still played with the two out wide and one up front. It didn't change. We didn't change the shape. We didn't change the system. So I'm not anti Joe Edwards. And I think, as I said at the start of the show, that the players need to take some responsibility. But Joe Edwards does have to find a way of having a plan B or a different setup. Because we can't just keep rocking up with three at the back and one striker, because ultimately you're just going to get found out week after week.
Here's one for you, what seems to be in the comments, and we'll come on to recruitment a bit more in a bit. But Paul Robinson, the keeper coach, not the legend, our Robbo. So Paul Robinson, the goalkeeping coach, yeah, not by Paul Robinson, fucking hell, Marshall. The goalkeeper,
yeah, Andy Marshall, yeah.
He was obviously with Long, Sarkic. Is he? I know, Dan. I know. Is he? He's supposed to be coaching out the weaknesses and making them stronger. But have you seen that actually come across? And also, would you not prefer really to have probably Denzel teaching our goalies? Because he's wasted at Reading. Someone's put in the comments that he's wasted at Reading, which he is, really. It'd be better off with us, wouldn't it?
Possibly, but I don't think we can. I think the goalkeeping coach at the moment, we can kind of have anyone in there at the moment. I don't think it's gonna make that much of a bit. We haven't had a decent keeper coach for a long, long time. I think it doesn't necessarily have to be Denzel. It could necessarily be anyone. Really, that, let's be honest, to can come in and try and improve us. But one thing, and there's a comment that's just come in, that's, and it's really interesting. Paul's just put, I'd rather have Bart as the goalkeeper coach. How would we feel, though? But before we move on to that, could be moving forward. But this is for you guys, Mickey and Ant, and then we'll put it out to the chat. For the remainder of the season, as of right now, would you be tempted to go back to pick Bart to be our goalkeeper for the run-in, or would you stick with Sarkic?
No.
No to what? Sorry. Stick with Starkic.
I would stick with Starkic. Yeah.
Right.
Keepers are all about confidence. I mean, I know he was weak today on some of them, but I just don't know. I personally don't know if Bart is fit enough to play every game. And that's my only downside, is that obviously listening to bits and pieces from people, I really don't know if Bart is absolute fit enough, because there's been loads of rumour that he was playing through painkiller injections and everything else. And I just don't know if he's really... He will give us his all, but I just don't know if giving us his all would destroy him physically.
If there was an alternate reality where you could make a sub at 60 minutes and put Bart in for the final 30, but that's not a realistic world. Like, he's not fit. He's not going to fit the 90. We put the investment in Sarkic. He's at fault for the second today, but I would stick with Sarkic as well.
I agree with you, Baz. That second goal today wouldn't have gone in with Bart in goal.
It wouldn't. I would say, though, and again, it's really difficult.
Been saved as well.
It's really difficult. Sorry, I'm just... there's a comment that's just come up, and it's come up a couple of times. Oh, no, wait, no, it hasn't. Sorry, something caught my eye there. Maybe not. I think Bart... The problem is... With Bart and Sarkic. Sarkic was really good for 60 minutes today, I thought. I thought he made a good save in the first half. I know he didn't come, but I thought he was having a reasonably good game. You make a mistake as a goalkeeper, you've had it. That's just the way that it is. You can't hide from that. The reason why I asked the question is because I saw a couple of people talking on Twitter about how Bart should be the goalkeeper for the run-in. I'm not sure, personally. I would be tempted to stick with Sarkic. As Anthony said, we've made an investment in a goalkeeper. They've made the decision that Bart probably has his knees, knee issues, and he's probably going to leave us at the end of the season. However, much like last season, when there was a lot of talk to call Bart back for the run-in, and people say that we should have had him in, I just wonder if we'll go down that route again, and you'll see people... calling for him to come back very soon.
I mean, Harry, you raise a point here, Harry, but I will turn this back to you, is that you've put, look, to give us the best chance of staying up, if we lose our next three games, would you still be wanting JE as manager, even though it may result in relegation? I would say, yes, I would want Jared Woods to stay as manager. My biggest concern is that if we get into the relegation... Do the players have enough about them to get us out of relegation? And I don't think that matters who we've got as a manager. It's, are the players up to getting us out of that fight? And I don't know if they are, because at the moment, they can't get us out of 90 minutes. Do you know what I mean? So let alone if we're suddenly in that bottom three, and we, you know, they fucking run around with the reds down and all this lot, you know. But our fan base at the moment is so mixed. You know, one minute it's, oh, Danny Mac's the greatest thing since sliced bread. The next minute you're fucking moaning about him. I think Danny's doing the best he can and where he is. Do I think he's a right back? Yes. Do I think he's a right wing back? No. But again, he keeps getting played slightly out. But the last game he was great. Today, he was great, but I just don't think the rest of the players were with him. I think that, you know, at certain points we were open. Was it down to him, or was it the fact that Cooper didn't want to run too much, or Harding didn't want to necessarily go in? First half, Harding was closing down and we were closing balls down. Second half, it just seemed to slow down, whether that's fitness, whether that's just fucking can't be asked.
I will say too, I'll be quick. First half, Cooper was making a lot of runs into the opposing box or in that general area. And after like the second or third one, I was like, hey, what's going on here? Like, do I want it to be Harding where he only comes forward for set pieces? No. But I thought he kind of forayed a bit much today, but that's just a small point I want to make.
Right, 2 points here which just come in on the comments. I would have Kenny Jackett as director of football all fucking day long at Millwall, all fucking day long. And that comment there about Graham Stack, I would definitely look at him as a goalkeeper coach. I agree with what you said there. Ben Foster thinks he was, you know, he was class at Watford and stuff. I would seriously, and what you need is someone who's great, you know, someone who's who's a great man manager, whatever it is. And the other thing I'd do is fucking get in an attacking coach. Do you know what I mean? And possibly look at overhauling our defensive coach because they're not fucking that much good either.
I saw you passed along a comment earlier. Someone was saying, what does Adam Barrett do? And I don't want to say anything bad about him, but he was here with Harris. He was here with Rowett. Now he's here with Edwards. Is it time for him to move on? Has he been here too long? Do we need sort of that new attacking coach, that new mentality, new sort of ideas? I did see someone said that, and I did start to think about that today as well as I saw him on the bench.
Billy Parks, Knackery, I heard exactly the same, mate.
Yeah.
That he was, you know, literally you fucked him about and you were fucking up against it, mate. And do you know what? Maybe that's what we need. Maybe the problem we had is that with Rowett in here and Rowett allegedly not necessarily getting on with the players, not necessarily telling the players, you know, if people were playing or not playing till last minute, et cetera, et cetera. And the whole relationship around the team and et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you need a manager to suddenly come in and fucking toe the line, or someone in that dressing room who will toe the line. Because player-wise, who is there? There isn't. I mean, you look at times from before, you obviously had Neil Harris in the dressing room, McKenny was there, you got Robbo, you got my mate who fucking hates me. What's his name?
Tony Craig.
Tony Craig, fuck knows why, but I've not done anything to him, but he seems to have fucking either confused me with someone else or I've done something in a past life and he fucking hates me. But you had real strong characters, what would pull people in? But the mate, Steve Morrison, do you know what I mean? And right now, Alan Dunn, even right now, you haven't got any of those.
Well, 40, funny enough, you haven't got anyone. You say that, there's a comment that's come through that's from Alex to say that get Dunny in as a coach. He's doing well at Bromley, and he is doing well at Bromley. I don't mean any disrespect to that level, but surely if the club come calling for someone like that to come in and take a position at Millwall, surely it would make sense for him to come in and do that. I do agree. We don't have leaders. I mean, Mickey, we went to the Neil Harris night, we went to the Byron Webster Tony Craig night, and all the common theme behind all of those them guys speaking was that at the times when they were playing for a manager, you had the go-between, didn't you? You had like two or three senior players that would be the go-between between the manager and the players. And if there was any problems, it would go through them and it was sorted out accordingly, and that was it. Case closed. Thinking about our team at the moment, we don't have that. You could say maybe Saville, maybe Hutchinson, you know, possibly they're the leaders in the team, but can you really see like and the dynamic of if you've got Joe Edwards and you've got the players and then you've got the go-between, can you really see that working with Edwards going up to Hutch and Sav and going, right, what's crack, lads? What's going on type thing? It just...
No, I don't.
I don't know. I don't feel like the dynamic is the same.
No.
As it was.
David, I agree with you there. If we'd have took our chances in the first half, it could have been a completely different game, but it wasn't. Mm. We didn't take them and we ended up, you know, conceding two goals and ended up losing the game. So, you know, it is like that, isn't it? Who impressed you from the Coventry side out of interest? The referee.
I thought, obviously, Sakamoto was pretty good. I thought the fella, and I don't know his name, he hit the free kick that Sarkic tipped over, that he had the decent right foot. He looked quite good. Again, I don't know what his name is, but he was pretty good. But I don't think Coventry were that good today. Really, considering that they're the run that they've been on and they're in the top six, I don't think they were anywhere near their best. and we really caught them out and we didn't take advantage of it. But they've got good players at this level and they punish you if he's just commented Torp. That's it. Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. I know Callum O'Hare, Casey Palmer, Haji Wright, all these names, Sakamoto, they roll off the tongue. They've got good players. But we're sitting here doing this show saying that, you know, or I'm saying that I don't think they're at their best and we probably should have got something out of the game. Their guys who are doing their show, I think they've got a space on Twitter, are probably saying we got away with it in the first half, but found a way to win. And that's the difference.
No, that's it. That's it. So, yeah, there was a comment back here what was quite good. Danny said, it's just basics. There is never enough of our players around the ball. When we have it, there is a huge space between our front three and the midfield two, and don't get up to support. That is true. We don't. Who is out there to take? That's another good point there, Andrew. That's a good point. If you know, who is there to take over from Edwards? There is nobody out there. Would you want Pulis? Would you want Warburton, Aldry, you know, Allardyce? I don't think we've got the money for them. That's why we went for Edwards, because it's all about the rebuild now. It's all about develop the youth so that we can sell them on, and hopefully that money will be then reinvested into the team. And I think that's pretty much it. But we'll do a draw in a minute with people to win a key ring, and then we kick on to, I think, recruitment. I will tell what Barrett does, shaves his head. Yeah. I don't know. I know that he gets on with the players, and he used to be that conduit between Rowett and the players. You know, he used to keep the players sweet because of Rowett's man management style, and I think that's probably it. He gets on with the players and the board, so you know, he's obviously it is good. Get Dunny in as coach. Jacket is at the Jills, yeah. Mm-hmm. George Graham type manager. Who is, Edwards, you mean? George Graham started rocketing and then obviously he rebuilt. So, again, I don't know. That's what Warnock does when he goes in and saves teams from relegation. McGee could be a director of football. I mean, he's dropped down the levels, though, didn't he? Wasn't he a manager at Eastbourne Borough not that long ago? But then again, saying that, so was Mark Beard. Mark Beard, so, yeah. Need Alan Dunn talk like under Holloway. Yep, absolutely. We need to stick with Joe Edwards. Most of the current players are not good enough or intelligent enough to play Joe Edwards' style of football. If we go down, we will bounce back stronger and better. Look at Ipswich. You ask their supporters if it was bad to start with. Time is the bigger factor in this. Absolutely. Absolutely agree. Who is the defensive coach?
It's got to be Barrett, isn't it? It has to be Adam Barrett. He was a defender.
No, but he used to be the set piece, wasn't it?
Well, then that needs a shake up because we don't. That there was a stat, wasn't there, that come up on the screen today on Sky that about how many goals we seem to have scored from set pieces. I don't remember many goals that we score.
No,
Dave, that comment there. Can you go back to that? The one from David Squire. I don't know what you mean, because I've been on it for dropping Jake Cooper and taking the armband off of him for quite a while. So I'm not quite sure what you mean there, David, because I would have him out of the team at the moment. I agree that the midfielders need to be close.
Yeah, Friday fucked you up a bit, didn't it, with potential of Hutch going off injured again.
Yeah.
Because obviously you were raising that question, is it time to drop Cooper? Playing one up front is killing us. You missed a forearm smash on Sakamuka Mickey. I'm not gonna sit there and fucking talk about it and give it airtime. It is what it is, isn't it? You know, at the end of the day, he is one of our own, and I'm not gonna do the FA's job for him. So, you know. It is what it is, mate, unfortunately. So, yeah. Too many passengers stealing a wage, lack of leaders. Graham Potter. I don't think Graham Potter can come back into football yet, because I think he's had a big payoff from Chelsea and there is no way that he's going to come back into football yet, because there's been some big jobs out there what he could have possibly been up for and he just wasn't.
And there's no way he drops down to the Championship either.
What's gone wrong with Fleming? Great question.
Can we come back to that? Can we come back? We'll do that.
Come back to after prize.
I'll comment on that too. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
So where are we? Let's just get through these.
There's another comment coming through about why do we think Edwards hasn't changed captain? In my opinion, I think he should have, but I think because it's his first job in management, in being the head coach, I don't think he would have wanted to come in and rock the boat. So I think he's just gone, we'll leave it as it is. Hutchinson and obviously Cooper, there it is from Rosalind. Hutchinson and Cooper will share it. But I think one of the first things in the summer, providing, you know, whatever happens, the first thing he's going to do is Hutchinson won't be club captain anymore. And I don't think Cooper will be anywhere near it either.
Yeah. There was a moment early in the second half where I think it was Danny who had acres of space to pass forward to Obi, who was unmarked near the box, yet he made a pass back into the middle of the park. Why? Don't know. Only he can answer that, I suppose. Potter will go to Palace. I don't know if he will, you know. I think there's a big payout what's gone to him, and I think it's probably put him out of football for a while. Okay, hello. Need to give Bart a chance for a new contract. So, yeah. Right then, let's do a giveaway. Right, everyone who's commented, there's about 44 of you. If you haven't already commented, just comment something you want. You've got about 30 seconds, and then I'm going to do the draw, and someone will win a key ring. Or a bottle opener key ring. So, yeah. You got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And here we go. If you've already won, you will be undrawn and we go forward. Martin Edwards. Don't think you've won. And again, just get in touch with us. Let us know who's who. Let us know whether or not you want to pick it up at a home game on Ipswich. You going to Ipswich, aren't you, Stephen? Yeah.
I've got quite a few key rings left over. So if there's anyone that has won them that are at Ipswich on Wednesday, drop me a message on Twitter and we'll sort out something. It's fun.
So there are people who've just obviously Chris telling us who his favourite pop star is. Something you want. There we go. All right, the first person who should be sacked, if anyone, is Aldridge. Yeah, we come back to that. To play for us, you need to be a certain type of player. Kenny understood that. Not sure Gary Rowett did. Hope Joe Edwards does, but I'm not sure. Need to stand by Joe Edwards. Yep. Watch a second goal back. Cooper was knackered after trying to score a goal. Yep, totally agree with you there. Yeah, 130. Yeah, it is. We're growing, mate. We're getting there. So, yeah, listen, we are all about the 1% gains. That's all we're about. So, yeah, 1% games. Come and find Stephen, Connor, if you want one. Just come and find any one of the pod lads, and they'll probably have someone.
If need be, Connor, if you're on Twitter, drop me a message on there. If not, if you email us and we can sort out getting contact details and stuff. So that's absolutely fine. There's another comment just that you went past from David. The biggest problem is I can't see us scoring more than one goal. And that is the crux of all of our issues. You never feel like if at 1-1 or at 2-1, you never feel like you're going to get another goal. And that's
it. If you're listening to this as a podcast, you need to, this ends here. And then, you need to put the new one in, mate, because it's very close to the 60-minute mark. And obviously, as I said, we will be putting these into two parts. And we will release the same day, so you don't have to wait a day. But if you want to listen to what we're going to say about Fleming,
you'll have to come back.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.